I'm going to depart for a while, I guess. We'll see. From the book of Job. I won't have any slides up today, but I want to go back to 1 Samuel, where we were the last week. Last week I looked at 1 Samuel chapter 9, I believe it was, when Saul went to look for his donkeys and winded up being anointed king of Israel. I've titled the message, Make Us a King. Make Us a King. Amen. Because of where we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 8. You'll remember all through the book of Judges, God led Israel with a deliverer or a judge. That's where we get the name, that's where the name of the book of Judges comes from. God would lead them with a judge and who would defeat Israel's enemies. The pattern was Israel would sin against the Lord, would go worship idols. God would send the enemy to enslave them, to bring trouble to them so it would drive them back to God. Interesting that trouble is what drove people back to God. Amen. But we want a life without any trouble whatsoever. Yeah, it doesn't quite work that way. But in the book of Judges, God was their king. He was their king, and he used different judges that would change from generation to generation. He would use different judges for his own purposes in the nation of Israel. Samuel was the last of the judges. Okay? I believe Othniel was the first, but Samuel was the last of the judges. Why was Samuel the last of the judges? He was the last because Israel wanted to be like all the nations. Be careful when you say, I want this because everyone else is doing it. I want to be like everyone else. Careful, careful. Did God make you to be like everybody else? Did he make you to take, what did Jesus say? Narrow is the way and narrow is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction and many there be that go in thereat. Right? Broad is the gate that leads to destruction and many are going in that way. But narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Well, look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Sounds like someone we knew from the book of Judges, in the first part of chapter 1 and 2 of Samuel. That would be Eli, whose sons were wicked before the Lord, and the Lord destroyed them because of their wickedness. Samuel apparently didn't learn and didn't train his sons. A sad commentary, but it's true. His sons did not walk in his ways, but they turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. What do we learn? Leaders must be moral if they are to be accepted by the people whom they lead. Leaders must be moral. We'll see why in a second. Leaders must be moral if they are to be accepted by the people whom they lead, which means this nation and every other nation on the planet is in trouble with regard to their leaders. Hello? Because if we knew what was going on in the dark by our leaders, we would say, hey, that's not right. That just isn't right. But we know that things aren't right. And so in verse 3, it says, now it came to pass when Samuel was old. No, I just read that. I'm sorry, verse 4. Then all the leaders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You hear that? Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So the elders of Israel used Samuel's age and the immorality of his sons as an excuse to ask for a king, as if they themselves feared the Lord. So the elders are asking for, they're using, you know, that relative immorality, right? we're immoral, but we're not as immoral as you. So you give us a king, even though asking for a king is immoral. Why? Because you already have a king. Who's that? God. But no, we want another king. Well, that's immoral, right? So, but they used Samuel's age and his sons as an excuse. What they were asking for was against the will and ways of God at the time. As I said, God used judges. So if Samuel's old and his sons are not walking with the Lord, what did God do the last time that happened? Well, it happened with Eli and his sons. God destroyed, well, Eli fell off of a stool, broke his neck and died. And Eli's sons were destroyed by the Lord. That's what the Lord did the last time the judges weren't walking right with him. And so if Samuel, God would just raise up different judges. That's what he'd been doing for years in Israel. But no, the children of Israel says to Samuel, make us a king. We want a king. Samuel's like, you already have a king. Like, no, we want a king for us, like all the other nations. See, all the other nations doesn't have a king like we have a king. Who was their king? Their king was God. Can you imagine that? That they knew actually what they were saying? Well, when you look at Israel's past, again, God used different leaders at different times to deliver and judge Israel. God was the king, and that was never to change. God was the king, and he would use deliverers, different people, then to deliver Israel. Israel now wanted one man. They were saying, no, we don't want all of this business that we've had, different leaders, different judges. We want a king like all the nations to whom they would look instead of to the unseen God. We want a king. This has application there that time. It has application now because, you know, everybody's looking for a savior. They're looking for a savior politically. Looking for saviors business-wise, looking for people. If we put this person in office, this, and this is going to happen. I got news for you. There is no one person you can put in there that's going to get it done, not unless God does it. Oh, and by the way, even when God does it, the deliverer is never perfect. The judge is never perfect. We all have our flaws. If God was to use someone who was perfect, no one would get used. They wanted a king for their own purpose and not God's. Israel wanted a king for its own purpose, not God's. It must be remembered that God delivered Israel for his own glory, not for Israel's pleasure. God did not choose Israel to deliver them from all the nations and all their enemies so that they could sit around and go, aren't we great? No, it was so that they could declare his greatness and show to the world the God of Israel. God's goodness is realized in his glory. However, Israel wanted God's deliverance for its own satisfaction. That's why we read in John chapter 6 and verse 15, after Jesus had fed the multitudes, he fed the multitudes bread and they all ate and were filled, and there were baskets left over, fragments of both bread and fish. And this is what John 6:15 says, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. The people were coming to take Jesus and make him by force, make him king. But why did they want him to be king? They didn't want him to be king because they were glorifying God in doing so. They wanted him to be king so that he could break off the Roman chains, the Roman occupation, and free us so that we could live the way we want to live. And that's not worship him. That's why they wanted to make Jesus king. Jesus wanted nothing to do with it. He wanted nothing to do with it. But here Israel is. Make us a king. Make us a king. Verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people. My, my, my. Listen at that. They're asking that God not be their king anymore by asking for a king. And when Samuel goes and prays about it, God says, heed their voice. Hey, what does that tell you? That tells me be careful what you ask for. God just may very well let you have it. My, that's scary. That is scary. So don't take prayer lightly. Don't take requests lightly. God said, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. My, my, my. So in asking for a king, they were denying their king. This is what God says. Israel's rejection of the prophet Samuel was their rejection of God, for God would have raised up another judge or deliverer after Samuel. We see it again in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 19, where Samuel told the children of Israel, but you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Imagine that. Imagine that. How blind with sin you have to be to tell God, no, God, your way isn't right. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Whoo, let us not do it. We see them doing it, but we're to open up the book and read this and know. No, we're not to do this. We're not. I tell you about my friend who got mad with God for whatever reason. I can't remember. And he told me he shook his fist at God. When he told me that, I stepped back a couple paces. I was like, I don't know, man. You stay over there. I don't roll like that. No, I'm scared to do. No. Do you know him? You know we don't. If you shake your fist at God, it tells you don't know him. You don't know him. But in the very thing, and he didn't strike you down, shows us that he's a merciful God. He's not like us. Somebody get up in your face and shake their fist in your face too many times. And I tell you what, something get to rile up in you. You like, you know what? You do that one more time. You know, God is long suffering. He's not like us. But Israel had a habit. Israel had a history of doing this. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, we read this. He is despised and rejected by men. Samuel told them, you have rejected your God. Isaiah said about the same nation, he is despised and rejected by men. Prophesying of the Messiah who would come. Who's the Messiah? He was a Jew. And they rejected him. Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected. That would be the whole house of Israel, the elders, the chief priests. They rejected him. That stone has become the chief cornerstone. And yet, Israel was constantly rejecting God. John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. His own rejected him. So what we see is, it's not an anomaly. It was the way it went, all the way up to his crucifixion. In John chapter 19, verse 15, John 19, 15, Jesus is on is before Pilate, the chief priests and elders. Says, but they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. So we found it all the way in the New Testament, what gave birth in the Old Testament. We don't want you as our king. God have mercy. They said it in the old. They confirmed it in the new. We have no king but Caesar. Not this Jesus. No. So after rejecting their king who delivered them from all their enemies, Israel was overthrown. You remember when Jesus came and sat in the Mount of Olives and he wept over Jerusalem? He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kills the prophets and stone those who were sent to you. He said, would it have been that you would have recognized your day of visitation, but now it's past, it's all lost, and now your house has been left to you desolate, And Jesus prophesied after his death in 70 AD, Titus rolled the Roman army, rolled into Jerusalem and burnt the whole thing down. Burnt the whole thing. Why? Because the king who delivered them from all their enemies, they rejected him, said, "We won't have you. We won't have you." So when I read 1 Samuel chapter 8 and they said, "Oh, make us a king," I'm like, "Oh God, what?" My. They're rejecting the Lord. What an awful, awful thing. Verse 8, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. God, who was under no obligation to deliver Israel, to save Israel, to choose Israel, shows his love for Israel in that while they were worshiping false gods, God didn't cast them away. He didn't cast them away. He says, "They've forsaken me and served other gods, so they're also doing to you. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." This is interesting to me, how God allows them to go on in their scheme or in their own ways and their thoughts. So God let the people have their requests, but not without showing them the reality of what they'd asked for. We see that in verses 10 through 18. Let me read it. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen. Some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. Will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take. Verse 16. He will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, your donkeys, and put them to his work. 17. He will take a tenth of your sheep. Are you ready for this? And you will be his servants. Ooh. Remember when Jesus came and said, he said to the Jews in John chapter 8, he says, any child that's born in a house is free, but the servant isn't. And then he told those Jews, he says, "You're servants of sin." They said, "No, we've never been bound to anyone. We're free people." He says, no, you are servants to the sin that's in your heart. That's why you want to kill me. That's when Jesus said, whoever the Son makes free shall be free indeed. The truth shall set you free, right? Here, the Lord is telling the people through Samuel that you're going to be a servant to the king. A servant to the king. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, whom you have chosen for yourselves. They didn't choose a king to glorify God. They chose a king for their own purpose. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Six times the Lord said, "This king will take from you." Six times. There's a price to having a king of your choice. There's a price. So for us, the king, what we became slaves to was sin, just like the Jews in the New Testament that Jesus was talking to. He said, "You're of your father, the devil. You're going about trying to kill me." And that Abraham did not do. Well, the king that you say you want to judge and serve you will ultimately become your master, and you will serve him, is what Samuel told these people. What eventually happened to them. And there's room for application for that to be made to us today. Well, let's talk about the 1%. He said during the pandemic, the 1%, the one wealthier 1% of the world got even wealthier. while the people on the bottom got even poorer. Why? Because the wealth was taken from them. No, but if we make them rich, it'll all trickle down. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. It has application. Verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. What Israel got wrong was that they were not to be like all the nations. What if God called you to be different? What if he called you to be different, but you don't want to be different? You want to fit in. I want to look like everyone else. I want to be. I was watching a video yesterday. It was a hilarious video. It was just a, you know, YouTube has these shorts now. Short videos. Why? Because the attention span of human beings is about like that. That's about all they can stand. And the janitor in the school had a problem with the girls putting their lipstick on the mirror. They would kiss the mirror. And they had all these lipsticks, you know, because these girls thought this was cute. And so he went to the principal and they made an announcement. And that didn't get it done because these girls all wanted to be alike. They thought it was really nice to be. And so after they made the announcements, it went up 200%. There were girls going in and there, because when you tell someone not to do something, because we're of our sin nature, what are we going to do? We're going to do the very thing we were told not to do. And so the girls went in there and there was all these marks all over the mirror. And so the janitor went in and he told the principal, can you call all the popular girls? You know, the real popular girls, just have them meet me and I'll take care of this. And so they meet him and he goes into the bathroom. He says, you see all of these, you see all these lipstick y'all that y'all leaving on this mirror? He says, let me show you the work that I have to do to clean this off every day. So he takes his squeegee, he goes into the toilet, he puts it into the toilet, and he comes and he puts it all on this mirror that they had been kissing. He says, this is how I clean this every day. And the next day, there was no, he took care of the whole problem. Why? Because all of these girls wanted to be in. They wanted to be like everybody else. I just sat back and laughed. I thought, now I don't know if it really happened, but it's a good moral of the story, right? Well, Israel wanted to be like all the other nations. The problem is God did not call you to be like all the other nations. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, God said, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people to himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. God said, I chose you, Israel, to be for me, my own special people, not like anybody else. But what did Israel want? We want a king like all the nations. We want a king like, no, God, if you call me not to have a king, I don't want a king. Again, in Deuteronomy 14 and 2, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. I can't get over the fact that Saul fought one notable battle. And maybe next week, maybe I'll get into just the details, and you look at Saul's life and you just break it all down. It's sad, but it's instructive. Because Saul, who was chosen by the people, you remember last week, he was more handsome than anyone, and he was taller than anyone in the nation. That's what human flesh would choose. Even though God chose him, God chose what the people wanted. They got Saul. Saul fought one notable battle in which he was given victory by the Lord. But it was his son Jonathan and David who were the ones who were really fighting more battles than Saul. Matter of fact, if we get into it next week, at one point the Philistines were really giving Israel a hard way to go. And Saul is sitting under a tree with 2,000 soldiers doing nothing. Jonathan is over in another place with 1,000 soldiers, and Jonathan leaves with his armor bearer and gets more done with his armor bearer, two men, than Saul with 2,000 soldiers sitting over by himself. Jonathan over there killing Philistines, and God's moving through him. And Saul, the one who was chosen to be king, the people said, to deliver us from our battles. Saul wasn't doing anything but sitting on his laurels. Nice being king. Y'all bring me some grapes. Bring me something to eat. No, that's not what God had in mind for a king. Anyhow, we'll see. Verse 21. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. Three times the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice. Three times. Now, what they were asking for, though, was not God's will, yet God told Samuel, heed their voice. You say, isn't that a contradiction? No. No. God will oftentimes give people what they want, even though it's not his will. Genesis chapter 3. Of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. That was God's will. That was what he wanted. But what did they do? I often was tell my family when, when they got around the tree, God wasn't running down there each time. Now, I told you to stay away from that tree. I told you. If I told you once, I told you 1,000. No, God told them. He let his will be known. That's it. Now it's all on you. It's up to you. Did God let them do what he didn't want? Yes. Yes. Same thing here. He didn't want them to have a king, but they asked for it. And God said to Samuel three times, heed their voice. Make them a king. Why did the Lord do this? The question becomes. Why did the Lord? Well, when you look at it, God would have his rightful place among the people as king. Oh, that's going to be the case because that's his ultimate will. But his permissive will in allowing them to have a king, what God would do in sitting upon the throne of Israel, he would not do through the first king, Saul. He would accomplish through the second king, David. So God let them have a king and let them go through. And all of Israel's history, they had to deal with kings who would not walk with the Lord. Both the northern kingdom of Israel and Samaria, and then through the southern kingdom of Judah, they had kings that just would not walk with God. And they had to bear the brunt of it. And everything the Lord told Samuel, they had to live out. And it was awful because of their kings who would not walk with God. And so God would come through the second king, David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, I believe it is, the Lord told David, he says, when you pass away, I'm going to raise up one of your sons, and he's going to sit on the throne of Israel forever. Forever. Now, that's the king. That's God's king. Amen. That's God sitting upon the throne. But not only an unseen king, he said, I'm going to bring of your flesh and your bones, David, is going to sit upon your throne forever. Well, that could only be one person because everyone else died and rotted in the grave. There's only one who didn't die and rot in the grave, but he got up the third day and he ascended to heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of the power right now. And he literally will rule on a throne in a flesh and bone body. Like we have, he's of reign forever and ever and ever. And the king whom they rejected will be seated on the throne of glory both forever and ever and ever. That's why God allowed them, go ahead and have your king. Have your king. This is how it's going to be, though. This is how it's going to be. But then God will establish and enthrone his rightful king upon the throne of this holy nation. What holy nation? It wasn't the Israel that's over in the Middle East now. Not that Israel. Galatians 6:16. Paul talks about the Israel of God. The Israel of God. You've read, haven't you, in was it Romans chapter 9 or is it Romans chapter 2? Every Jew is not of Israel. Every Jew in Israel is not of Israel. The true Israel of God is the church of Jesus Christ, where everyone is born again. Hands down, everyone. The Israel that we see fighting in the Middle East, that is not the Israel of God. Now, some in there are part of the Israel of God, but not the nation as a whole. The church of the living God. That's why in John chapter 41, chapter 1, verse 49, when Nathanael, when Jesus prophesied to Nathanael and said, I saw you earlier, Nathanael said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are the King of Israel. Okay? Him recognizing Jesus Christ as the Son of David who would come and sit upon the throne of David, reigning forever and ever. John chapter 12, verse 13. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the scripture says the people took palm branches and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. That's what God had in mind when he allowed them to have a king. When he said to Samuel, heed their voice. Heed their voice. It's okay. Because my king is going to sit up on the throne. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, we read, which he, Jesus Christ, will manifest in his own time, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There can be only one King of kings. Amen. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are called with him, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And then lastly, Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so, excuse me, at the end of 1 Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. It was because God had this in view. God had this in view. They're going to make themselves a king, but I'm going to set my king upon the throne of Israel in the end. But first, he let the people see that rejecting the rightful king of Israel is futile and detrimental to the nation. And Samuel said to every man of Israel, every man go to a city. That's the end of the chapter. Well, that which God intended then is still at work now and being carried on now, right? Jesus is calling out, that's what ecclesia means, called out ones. He's calling those out of the world and into his kingdom, the Israel of God, the church of the living God. He's calling them out. And that church, that holy city, that holy nation, he is king over. He is king of. Now, all the other nations, oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. If you're not under his lordship, if you're not under his dominion, willfully, humbly giving yourself, because he's the King of kings. He's the King of Israel. But King of kings means he's Lord over everything else. And he's going to judge all the nations. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Sure. Mm-hmm. If they had, would mean that God would have had a different plan. Right? Because if they had accepted Jesus Christ, they would have never crucified him. Is that what you mean? Because they crucified him. Yeah, but there were Jews who accepted Jesus even though he was crucified. Those were the called out ones. Those were the ones who were chosen by God from eternity to be in his kingdom. So that's why Jesus said, he says, it's been given unto you to know the truths concerning the kingdom of God. He says, but to the rest, it's shown in parables. And it's shown in parables so that those who were spiritually deaf would not hear, but those spiritually whose ears were open, they would hear and receive and be saved, right? So if Israel had accepted Christ on the whole as a nation, well, they wouldn't have crucified him. And if they didn't crucify him, well, he wouldn't have died for the sins of the world, which would mean a totally different situation, right? But God Remember that the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. So it was one of those, it was the will of God that Christ be slain, but yet it was also sin that they did it. Yeah. Whereby God allows that, right, so that our sin can be made manifest, and then he's going to judge the sin, obviously. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't want to think about that. No, 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 no. See, therein lies the mercy, the love, the grace, the compassion of our Lord. Therein lies why when we get to heaven, somebody said they want to play golf. I said, you go play all the golf you want to. Just leave me alone because I got to go. I say, hey, ooh, well, thank you. I don't know what it's going to be like. I just can't get over it. I just gonna be. Who are you? You not like us. Who? My God, your mercy and your grace. You didn't have to do that. I mean, I don't know. It's gonna be so overwhelming, brother. And yet it starts in this life, and it continues in the next. And yet it says, I mean, I'm not poo-pooing the guy who said he's going to be playing golf because it just says it's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Well, we got to do something on that earth. If we're going to be on our earth, we're going to be doing something. But I imagine, I don't know how it's going to work. Will heaven be open? Will we be going from heaven to earth and the angels do it? Jesus did it. You know, Elijah did it. I mean, Enoch did it. Who else? Are we going to be doing it? But all I know is he's going to be there and he's going to fill. In other words, in the Holy Jerusalem, the scripture says there is no sun because the Lamb is its light. Okay, well, what that means is everywhere you look, you're going to be seeing him. Because the light out there, when you walk outside, you cannot walk out there without seeing sunlight. Well, if the Lamb is his light, everything you experience is him in heaven. It's his presence. It's all, I mean, he created it. But I think the beautiful thing is that, you know, sad now is that everything God made declares his glory there. But because we're dead in trespasses and sins, people don't even see it for what it really is. Now, people will enjoy a sunset. They will enjoy a sunrise, but they won't glorify God in it. They say, isn't that beautiful? Look at what nature has done. Evolution has produced this great, beautiful thing. They won't glorify God for it, even though God did it. Well, in the kingdom of God now and in the heavens of Jerusalem, we will know that he did it, and we will thank him profusely over and over and over again because we will know that all things are created by him, and we will know it on a level that we could never know it here. So our, what is it? So our praise, so our worship is going to be so full, brother. It's going to be overwhelming. I mean, because you're going to be inundated every moment of your eternal existence with who he is. My God, that's going to be something. It's something right now. I just don't believe we get it. I just don't believe we get it all the time. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your plan of redemption, for so great a salvation that you have secured for us through Christ your Son. And Father, we pray, Lord, that our eyes will continually be open to the revelation of God. Lord, that we will lay down our lives. Lord, being done with this world, having lived our lifetime to the will of the flesh. But now, Lord, we will live all of our days to the glory of our Father who's in heaven. So, Father, I pray that your word would have free course in us. Christ, our Lord, our King, would sit upon the throne of our hearts, O God, and we would not, O God, obey another. We would not worship another. We would not look to another, but we would look to the King. We would look to the King of heaven, the King of saints, the King of the Israel of God, seated upon the throne of our hearts, O God, that we might glorify your great name both now and forevermore, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said amen. 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 Glory.